As was announced, the scripture reading for this morning will be taken from the book of Genesis, chapter 9, verses 8 through 17. That's Genesis 9, 8 through 17, and I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Then God spoke to Noah and to his sons with him, saying, "And as for me, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the cattle, and every beast of the earth with you, of all that go out of the ark, every beast of the earth. Thus I establish my covenant with you. Never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood. Never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." And God said, "This is the sign of the covenant which I make between me and you, and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be for the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. And it shall be when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the rainbow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. The waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. The rainbow shall be in the cloud, and I will look on it to remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." And God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth."
Good to be with you this morning. Appreciate everyone's presence, and we look forward to our rest of our service. We've already had a good service, good song leading, good prayer, and we appreciate the opportunity we have to serve God. In September 14th, on September 14th, 1986, the then First Lady, Nancy Reagan, set forth her campaign that was simply referred to as "Just Say No." She told that she was talking with some young children in Oakland, California, about drugs, and they asked her, "What should we do if we are offered drugs?" And she told them, "Just say no." And that kicked off a countrywide campaign in our schools and other places that was entitled "Just Say No." Over the months that followed that, and even the next couple of years, she began to be mocked because there were many people who said that this attitude that all you have to do is say no was an oversimplification of the crime on drugs, the fight, rather, the war against drugs. But is it? When you stop and think about that, is that really an oversimplification? And I guess the answer to that question would depend upon whom you're talking to. Because if you're talking about someone who has given in to drugs and has become addicted to some hardcore, mind-altering, powerful drug, and particularly those kind of drugs that carry with it withdrawal symptoms, then probably just saying no is off the table. At that point, you probably need help from a professional. But that's not who she was addressing. As I just described, she was talking with little children at the particular time. And when you think about those who have never done drugs, young people who haven't been offered drugs or haven't given in to that, or even those who maybe have dabbled a little bit and even become mildly addicted to it, they're still in the position where they can determine, I'm just going to say no and never do drugs or quit doing the drugs that they are doing. And so, with that in mind, I want to talk a little bit about just saying no to drugs. Like last week, this is a lesson that is primarily toward our young people, but certainly this kind of topic is not limited to them at all. Whoever this is applicable to, we want to encourage you to just say no to drugs. I read several years ago a part of a letter from this John Duff, and listen to what he said about drugs. We live in a society under siege, bombarded by an onslaught of drugs and toxins. There is no part of life on this planet today that is not being destroyed by this assault, from the upper strata of society to the children of the ghettos, from the industrialized superpowers to Brazilian rainforest. Headlines cry out the toll of individuals, families, schools, nations, and entire civilizations being eaten away by poisonous drugs. And so what we discover is that even now in 2023, we're still engaged in a war on drugs. Drugs are devastating this country and people around the world. And so we need to have this attitude, just say no to drugs. But why should we have that attitude? Let me suggest a couple of things to you. Number one, because God hates drugs. And the question is, why does God hate drugs? And I'll give you two simple reasons why. Number one, because God loves life and drugs kill. And if you're doubting that that is the case. And there are many who begin to get into drugs and they don't really see the harm, and they're doubtful about the damage that it can do. Well, consider this just quickly. In 2022, over 100,000 people died due to drug abuse. That's a high number. Over 100,000 people in 1 year died because of drug abuse. And the fact of the matter is, it's not getting any better. In fact, it's getting worse. I want you to consider what the American Medical Association says, and I want you to notice there in that heading, this quote that you see before you was updated this month. Like, a lot of times when you're looking at statistics and that sort of thing, it's kind of hard to find some relevant information that doesn't go back 5 or 6 years or more. And, of course, things change a lot in that period of time, but sometimes that's the only information that we have. But this was something that was updated this very month. And it says, the nation's drug overdose and death epidemic continues to worsen. The epidemic affects every state and continues to be driven. Now, let me just stop there for a minute and just let you know, this epidemic affects every state. Did you know that Ohio, of all the states in this country, Ohio is fourth when it comes down to how many deaths take place on a yearly basis? Ohio's fourth. Only California, Florida, and Pennsylvania has more deaths due to drug abuse than Ohio. I find that amazing. That places like Illinois, that of course has Chicago, you would think that would push it up some, or even New York even, is behind Ohio when it comes to people who die every year to drug abuse. Really quite amazing. But he says the epidemic affects every state and continues to be driven by illicitly manufactured fentanyl, methamphetamine, and cocaine, often in combination or adulterated forms. More than 106,000 deaths were reported in the United States between May 2022 to May 2023. And so we find that we indeed have a problem. God hates drugs because it kills. And God loves life, particularly human life, because he's the one who blessed us with life. And don't forget, we're created in his image. We are, as human beings, the crowning point of all of his creation. And in fact, in Genesis chapter 9, you remember at verse 6, it says, whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed, for God made man in his own image. So God values life, and drugs take that away. The abuse of drugs ends lives. People are dying every year all around the country, and in fact, all around the world, because of drug abuse. And so that's one reason we should just say no to drugs. Not only that, but because God wants us to be sober-minded. Like over and over again, we read in the New Testament, passage after passage after passage, that encourages us, that commands us even, to be sober-minded. Not like there's one or two passages. In almost every epistle, the inspired writers will say something along the lines of being sober-minded. Notice just a few of those passages. 1 Thessalonians 5 at verse 6. So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. And of course, he's using sleep and wake there metaphorically. Mentally, we need to continue. We need not to sleep, but we need to remain awake. How do we do that? By being sober. Developing a sober mind. He says in 1 Peter, Peter says, 1 Peter 1 at verse 13, therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Notice that, prepare your mind for actions. How do you do that? Well, I'll tell you how you can't do that is by being high on some kind of drug. When you take drugs, your mind is not prepared for action. We're talking about the action of serving God and furthering the cause of Christ. We need to be preparing our minds for that. You can't do that on drugs. You simply can't. 1 Peter 4 at verse 7, the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. And of course, in 1 Peter 5 and at verse 8, we're familiar with this verse. It says, but be sober-minded, be watchful. Why? For your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. I've said many times, you've heard me say many times before, when the devil begins to look at us and he wants to size us up to see exactly how he can separate us from God, the very first place he attacks is the mind. Because he knows, and we should know as well, if he can just influence our thinking, he's going to be the victor and we're going to be defeated. And one way the devil, without question, can control our thinking and our attitude is by the use of drugs. And he's going to do everything he can to get us to partake in drugs. Just say no to drugs. Be sober-minded. To be sober-minded is to have a sound mind. It is to have a mind that is characterized by mental and spiritual balance in your life. It's to have control. It's to fill your mind with the Holy Spirit by following his word, the word of God, and having living by the principles of that word. When you do that, you'll stay away from drugs. When you allow yourself to become a partaker of drugs, you're not doing that. And yet that's the encouragement you remember of Paul in Ephesians 5 at verse 18. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. There is nothing miraculous about that in this passage of Scripture. He's not talking about some kind of special illumination of the Spirit. He's just saying you allow the Holy Spirit to influence you. you demonstrate in your life the fruit of the Spirit, which you do by simply following the revelation that he set forth. You fill your mind with the Word of God. Colossians, you remember Paul said that we're to allow the words of Christ to dwell in us richly. And when we do that, we'll safeguard ourselves against the attacks of the devil. Doing drugs does the very opposite. It makes you vulnerable. And indeed, it allows him to take over your thinking. And so we need to determine then that we're going to say no to drugs because God hates drugs and because we can't live a sober-minded life if we partake, even if we dabble in drugs. We simply can't be what God wants us to be. But then, also, we should say no to drugs because we can only serve one master. You know the passage well, I'm sure. Matthew 6 at verse 24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God in money. Now, we could take the word money out of that passage and insert drugs, and it wouldn't hurt the point that Jesus is making at all. I mean, I'm not talking about it from a lexicon standpoint, but from a practical standpoint. The fact of the matter is, if you choose to do drugs, you're choosing to serve a new master. And that new master is going to take over your life. You'll decide to leave God behind. You'll not only forsake God, you'll forsake family and friends. You'll forsake your dreams and ambitions. You simply will become a servant and a slave for drugs, or two drugs. And that drug wants to control you, wants you to be addicted. The choice that we have to make is not, well, can I do drugs and can I sort of control the situation? You don't have that choice. You're not going to be able to do that, except for maybe in your own mind. You might deceive yourself into thinking that you can do that, but that's not really the choice. The choice is either to do drugs or don't. If you do, most likely it's going to lead sooner or later to an addiction. And then all of a sudden, you're going to lose even your free will, whether you want to or not. It will rob you of your free will. Because nobody gets up and says, you know, I'm going to voluntarily become a slave to some drug. No one says, Mr. Drug, I want you to take over my life. I want to be addicted to you. Nobody plans to do that. But the moment you fail to just say no, and you begin to partake in any kind of drug, there's the possibility that sooner or later, maybe sooner than later, you'll become a servant to that drug. And so we encourage, just say no. Again, once you get involved and get addicted to it, and your life is being destroyed by it, now you're probably going to need some help. But in the beginning, you can, before it's too late, just say no. Nancy Reagan wasn't wrong about that. That wasn't an oversimplification. If you say no before it's too late, you realize you can't serve two masters. If you become addicted to drugs, that's your new master. God is no longer the one you're serving. And so we must say no. Notice some of the drugs that have infiltrated our society. Alcohol. Some would be surprised that that is on the list. And most people in our society today deny that alcohol is a drug. It is just an amazing thing to me in our country, the attitude that people have, that famous people and popular athletes and just all kind of people in position of power even, who push and promote alcohol. And most people would not say, well, this person over here who dabbles in alcohol, that he's not a drug user, because they don't view alcohol as being a drug. It's just something you do for recreation. It is no real big deal. On commercials, you see people in obviously places of enjoyment, whether it's on the beach or on a boat or whatever, drinking whatever alcoholic beverage is being advertised. And it's clear that they want you to know, boy, you wouldn't be as sophisticated without that bottle of wine in your hand. You wouldn't be having any fun if it wasn't for this particular kind of beer that you should be drinking. And you see it pushed and promoted everywhere. The fact of the matter is, alcohol is a drug. It's one of those drugs you should just say no to. Notice in the Concise Columbian Encyclopedia, it says alcohol is a central nervous system depressant that reduces anxiety, inhibition, and feelings of guilt, lowers alertness, impairs perception, judgment, and muscular coordination, and in high doses can cause unconsciousness and even death. Yes, alcohol kills. And yet we view it just casually as a country, and we're not the only ones. People around the world just view alcohol as if it's no big deal. But it does kill. Notice even further, alcohol can damage the tissues of the mouth, esophagus, and stomach, increases susceptibility to cancer. It can also hurt the liver because it must constantly detoxicate the large amounts of alcohol. Furthermore, the heart muscle may be damaged. And of course, the brain is affected as well. Now, as a result of this, alcoholics die at a rate of 2.5% higher than normal. And so, yes, alcohol kills. The drug you need, it doesn't matter how popular, how acceptable it is in certain circles. You need to just say no to alcohol. I could make a biblical case for the sinfulness of strong drink, which, by the way, almost every beverage, alcoholic beverage that you could get in any store in this country would fall under the category of strong drink. And I could make a case for it being sinful to partake of it. But just from a common sense standpoint, when you realize all the damage that alcohol does, why in the world would you want to partake of it? Why wouldn't you just say, you know, that's pretty dangerous. That can cause a lot of problems. I'll just opt for another kind of beverage. Why wouldn't you do that? Unless you can't. Because you've become addicted. You've become an alcoholic. Even though you haven't admitted it to yourself, you've become addicted to this drug. And the sad thing about alcohol and the death that comes from it, it often isn't the one who is drinking that ends up dying. It's other people who are affected by it. Notice what the Department of Transportation says. This is amazing, really. Every day, about 37 people in the United States die in drunk driving crashes. Isn't that amazing? Listen to this. That's one person every 39 minutes. Before I conclude this sermon, somebody somewhere will have died in a car accident due to alcohol. That's the reality. In 2021, 13,384 people died in alcohol-impaired driving traffic deaths, a 14% increase from 2020. These deaths were all preventable. The Department of Transportation is right about that. You know how they're preventable? Just say no. That's probably not what they're thinking about. They're probably thinking about taking classes and driving responsibly and all of that stuff. But no, I can tell you how you can be sure you're never going to kill someone in a car accident. You're never going to develop some kind of physical disease or illness due to alcohol if you just say no and don't drink. That is, drink alcohol. That's how it is totally preventable. Problem is, we live in a country of people who are hooked on alcohol, who simply love alcoholic beverages. There are nearly 18 million alcoholics in the United States. Surveys show that about 52% of Americans drink alcohol regularly. Half the country. Not just dabbles in alcohol here and there, but drinks alcohol regularly. No wonder we have a problem in this country. Just say no. Proverbs reminds us in Proverbs chapter 23 at verse 29 through 35, do not look at wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup and goes down smoothly. In the end, it bites like a serpent and stings like an adder. Your eyes will see strange things and your heart utter perverse things. You will be like one who lies down in the midst of the sea, like one who lies on the top of the mast. They struck me, you will say, but I was not hurt. They beat me, but I did not feel it. When shall I awake? I must have another drink. That demonstrates the slavery that takes place when one becomes an alcoholic. And most of the time, one is an alcoholic long before they ever recognize it or admit it to themselves. It causes you to do foolish things, to bring harm upon yourself and be so mentally impaired that you don't care. The answer is just say no to alcohol. And then there's marijuana. And marijuana became real popular in the 60s and 70s. And it was used mostly by those who called themselves hippies. And it was basically a rebellion against this so-called establishment. But then in the 80s, there began to be a wider cross-section of America, young people, black, white, rich, poor, people from all over the country who began to use marijuana. And there's a few different reasons for that. Number one, it's more inexpensive than other drugs. You can buy a lot of it for little. That was even true in my day. You could buy a pound of marijuana and it wouldn't cost all that much. And you could break it up and you could sell it in nickel bags and dime bags and you could make triple your money easily. My own father would do that from time to time. I knew people at school who did that regularly. And they'd drive a nice car and they were drug dealers. And it was easy to do. It became very popular. And another reason is because most people view marijuana as if it's harmless. It's, you know, the mild drug. Let me tell you right now, ladies and gentlemen, there is no such thing as a drug that is not dangerous. Even the drugs you can get over the counter carry with it some danger. All drugs are dangerous, and marijuana is no exception to that. People think it's mild because there's not a physical addiction to it. And that's true. Like, you don't have withdrawal symptoms if you want to quit marijuana. You can, in this case, just say no. It takes determination, and it takes some discipline to do it, but at any time, if you're doing marijuana, you can just say no, but it's not easy. Because there's a psychological addiction. Because it gives you this high, and everything is enhanced when you're on marijuana. And so you just enjoy that. And because it's so disguisable, it becomes more dangerous. Like, you can function decently when you're high on marijuana. You say, well, that's good. No, it's not good. It's deceiving. Because now what young people do often is they'll take drugs and not just young people, but other people, but they'll do marijuana all the time. Like before school, in between classes, and at work or when they're driving, and before dinner and after dinner. And all these times, and you can actually function, and people won't completely notice it. Sometimes people might have a little suspicion, but there's not anything that people are like, that person is, you can disguise. The only thing that'll happen, your eyes will get red. All you need is a little Visine, and that's, you think that's good. No, it's terrible. Because it's so easy, and it's so accessible, because it's relatively cheap. And you're thinking, but it's not doing any harm. It's doing a whole lot of harm. It warps reality. Minute sometimes seems like an hour. The room next door seems like it's a mile away. Just everything is enhanced. It weakens judgment. You're very easily persuaded when you're high on marijuana. That means you might easily give in to your own passions or desires for something, or might be easily persuaded by someone else. I'm not saying everyone who high on marijuana is like that, but a lot of people are. And you don't know, but that might be you. If you find yourself high on marijuana, people can be talked into doing silly things. It causes drowsiness because it lifts you up on a high pretty soon. That's going to go away, and you're going to all of a sudden be real sleepy, drowsy. Now, you think about what I said before. You have kids doing this when? Before classes, in between classes. You're a teacher, you come in, and a student has his or her head down on the table. You think they stayed up late last night. Maybe, maybe not. They might just be coming down from a high. And when you think of that, it leads, of course, to poor academic performance. You don't think that's a problem for you? Just dabbling in this mild, casual drug is ruining your future, very possibly. And there's enough. Now, don't be fooled. It's kind of like smoking. We deceive ourselves so easily. Well, I know a lot of people who did drugs and it didn't affect them academically. I did too. I had friends who were brilliant and got straight A's or close to straight A's, and they were high all the time. It's quite amazing, but it wasn't normal. Doesn't work out like that for most people. Like the fellow says, I smoke 5 packs of cigarettes a day and I don't have cancer. And some people like that never develop cancer. Don't let that persuade you. Well, that means that cigarettes aren't dangerous. Of course they are. They kill most people. Just because there's exceptions, that's not the rule. Don't let marijuana and the idea that it's harmless, don't let that deceive you. Negative physical effects, it affects the lungs, affects the heart, doctors will tell you. It affects the mind. Those are three pretty important members of our body, don't you think? Ridiculous to think that marijuana doesn't have a negative impact upon individuals. Then there's cocaine. Cocaine used to be thought of as the rich man's drug because it's more expensive. And at some point, I don't know what happened. The price went down maybe slightly. I don't know. Drug users are very clever. Didn't go down much. It's still more expensive than a lot of drugs, but maybe enough for people to afford it. Whatever happened, millions of Americans began to use cocaine, not just the rich. And it affects, again, your central nervous system, but it's a stimulant. So it puts you on high just to snort and both nostrils, and for a half hour, you're in a state of euphoria. And it's called ego food because it makes you feel like you're more important than you are. It makes you feel like you're smarter, more wittier, that you're more masterful than all the people around you. But sooner or later, you come down from that high. And then all of a sudden, because it's very addictive, you really need it. And when you don't have it, now you become depressed. And now you feel like when you're not high on cocaine, now you feel like you're a failure and you're just a big loser. And so you desperately need some more. But remember, it's expensive. And so people hooked on cocaine end up stealing from family and friends and from their jobs and end up even breaking into houses and doing whatever they can to support their habit. All because, in the very beginning, before they lost control, they didn't just say no. It's before you get involved in these drugs that you have the power, you have the ability to turn them away, not to do what's popular, not to go along with the crowd, but to just say no. But I'm telling you, if you don't do that, you are going to lose control. And you probably won't even realize it until it's too late. We have, of course, heroin, just a terrible drug. You shoot it in your veins. It's because of those dirty needles that are used by drug users that help spread AIDS. People deny that AIDS is a disease that is produced by sin, but that's exactly what it is. Not every single case, but cases that aren't are like 1%. And probably lower than that now. There's a few people like Arthur Ashe and others who got AIDS because of bad blood in a transplant. Completely innocent, didn't know, just bad blood. But since that happened, they take measures for that, and that's almost impossible. I wouldn't say anything's impossible, but almost impossible for that to happen now. Most people who have AIDS, 99.9%, because they're sinning. I don't say that to at all say we shouldn't sympathize with anybody. I feel sorry for anyone that has HIV or AIDS, but I'm saying if you just say no to certain things, you can avoid. Drug use is one of those things. Because with heroin, again, you shoot it in your veins. It's called on the street, it's called smack or junk. And so those who are addicted are junkies. And junkies find themselves in a terrible situation because the first thing that happens when you take heroin for the first time is you'll get sick, cause you to vomit. Because the body immediately recognizes that it's in there and it's poisonous and the body wants to get rid of it. But then you continue and in short fashion you become addicted to it. Because heroin is physically addicting. And so once you get on it, you have to have a fix every 12 to 16 hours. And if you don't, you begin to have withdrawal sickness. And it begins with yawning out of control. And you begin to sweat and shake. And you begin to have stomach cramps that junkies would tell you are so bad, it feels like something inside is trying to tear its way out. Like it is just a terrible situation. And then your body gets used to it. And so what happens? You need more of it. Now, like cocaine, it ain't cheap. But you need more of it, and you need more powerful doses of it. And pretty soon, your body gets to the point where it gets used to it, and the junkie's not even getting high very much anymore. Now he's just doing the drug to avoid the sickness. Can you imagine being in that kind of a cycle? And because, again, it's not cheap, they end up, junkies end up stealing and doing things of that sort. In fact, it's not uncommon at all for women who become junkies to end up as prostitutes to sell their bodies because they need the money just to satisfy the addiction. It is far better, ladies and gentlemen, to just say no before you end up going down that path. And then there's the crystal meth that has become so very popular. But it has destroyed lives by the thousands at least. And it's just amazing. Here's a description of one lady, Anne Marie. So I started using crystal meth when I was a senior in high school. Before my first semester of college was up, meth became such a big problem that I had to drop out. I looked like I had chicken pox from the hours of staring at myself in the mirror and picking at myself. I spent all my time either doing meth or trying to get it. A young lady with a promising future. I don't know if she gave in to peer pressure or wanted just simply to be like others. But she failed to say no in the beginning. And she got to the point where saying no wasn't so easy now, because she's addicted to a powerful drug. And I just want you to notice, just in passing, here, this is the effect of crystal meth. Here's Andorra at 48 years old. 4 years later, that's what she looks like. She looked like. Angelic at 31 years old. Here's how she looked 3 years later. That's what crystal meth will do to you. Not me. Yes, you. Particularly this drug, if you do it, you will become addicted. Better just to say no than to ever get started. If you're just getting started, say no as quickly as you can, because it doesn't take long before it's too late. You've lost your self-control. You have a new master. Here's Jordan at age 23. Here she is at 25. Drugs, ladies and gentlemen, simply aren't worth it. We all need to make sure we say no and encourage our young people, just say no. I don't have time now for this final part, but just I'll put it on the screen and you can write it down in your notes if you're taking notes. Three reasons to say no to drugs. Number one, drugs are harmful to the body. 1 Corinthians 6 at verse 19. Never forget, our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. Temples of God, really. Passages in the Bible that tell us all three members of the Godhead dwell in us. We need to treat our bodies respectfully. Drugs will make you its slave. We looked at Matthew chapter 6, 24, of course. Romans chapter 6, 12 and 13 teaches basically the same thing. Paul begs, brethren, don't let sin reign in your mortal body. But when you do drugs, that's exactly what you're doing. And it will become your master. And drugs will ruin your influence for Christ. You cannot be a drug user. I don't care if you're just dabbling in drugs. You cannot do that and have a strong influence for Christ in most situations. I'm not going to say that's always the case. But most of the time, you ruin any opportunity you have to save other souls. Not only are you risking your own soul, but now you're not in position to help other people save their soul. Is it worth it? I know the answer to that question. It's absolutely not. Let's all just say no to drugs. Are you subject to the invitation of Christ? We haven't said much about that. But if you obey the gospel, I did say, and will repeat, if you obey the gospel and you walk the way God wants you to walk, you live by the word of God, you will say no to drugs. And your life will be far better for it. Most importantly, you can save your soul this very moment. You can become a new creature in Christ. Even if you have dabbled in drugs, if you obey the gospel, if you repent of your sin and you are baptized into Christ, Acts 2 at verse 38, your sins will be washed away. They will be forgiven, according to Peter. You can do that this morning. If you're a child of God and you haven't been living right, whether it's dabbling with drugs or whatever sin might have entered, infiltrated your life, repent of it. Make up in your mind you're going to stop sinning and that you're going to start serving God. Acts 8 at verse 22. God will be faithful and just to forgive you if you repent of your sin. He's that kind of an amazing God. If you have sinned publicly, come forward. We'll pray for you and encourage you. Do whatever we can to help you. But get your life right with God. Make Him your master and serve Him for the rest of your life. Are you subject to the invitation? Come forward as we together stand and sing.